You can find today's readings in the large print Bible on page 1827, or in the pew Bibles on page 204. And we are reading Galatians, and it's chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they are deceiving themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the gospel reading. This can be found on page 1672 of the large print Bible, or page 107 at the back of the pew Bible. It's taken from John's gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do grab a seat. Get nice and comfy if you're visiting us. This is where we're going to be for the next hour as I speak to you. Only joking. It's 2 hours. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us, the way your Bible speaks into our lives today. Lord, I pray, help us to hear what you have for each one of us this morning. Amen. You know, there's always an irony when you're preparing your teaching earlier in the week, and you're going to hear this irony in what I say next. Just bear in mind, on Thursday morning, it was gloriously sunny and hot as I was writing this. Because we've spent most of the last couple of weeks trying to teach our children, Elizabeth and Florence, about how important it is to drink enough water in hot weather. The forecast was good for today, I promise, on Thursday. It's a simple lesson, isn't it? A key lesson. And those of you, especially with little kids, will know all about it. In that, as grown-ups, as adults, we know how important it is that when the weather is hot, when the sun is out, that we need to keep ourselves fully hydrated in the heat. Quick show of hands, how many of us have ever had too much sunshine and not enough water? Okay, enough of us to know that if you've experienced that, you don't want to repeat it in a hurry. So there we go, water. It's important for us. It's important for our survival on a kind of day-to-day basis, but it's also important to help us to thrive, not just to exist, but actually to live and live to its fullness. You only need to Google kind of like studies on hydration, and you get all sorts of different statistics. I read this week at the University of Westminster just a couple of years ago found and proved that if you drink about 300 ml of water, so about the size of a soft drink can, it increases your capacity to concentrate by up to 25%. So it's great. Not only do you survive, it can help you to function and thrive even better. Now, of course, in Jesus' time, water was even more significant because Jerusalem is surrounded by hot, arid desert. Was then, and it is now. And the importance of water is really keenly felt by the people who are hearing Jesus speak. Water is a really significant symbol in their religious life, as it still is in our religious life. So if you were in the first century sort of Jewish people hearing Jesus speak, and he talks about water, then you knew he was talking about something that was important, like life and death important, not just have you had enough important. And for us, water is a powerful symbol today in all sorts of ways. But the way it's used in John's Gospel this morning is as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard, as Helen has been taking us through that baptism liturgy, just how that image of the water and Spirit are an inherent part of what you've seen happen already. And this is one of the images that the person who wrote John's Gospel has been using to describe the Holy Spirit. And for those of you here visiting, we've spent the last 4 weeks looking at different pictures that John uses to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. So this week, we're looking at what does it mean for us to have the Holy Spirit in our lives and that to be living water. So the Gospel reading, if you've closed your Bibles, you're very welcome to open them up and follow along. It's on page 107. And we find Jesus at a big religious festival. And it's the Feast of the Booths, or as other Bibles translate it, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And that's celebrating like when God's people were in the desert and they were kind of wandering around and didn't have their own buildings. They worshipped God in a giant tent known as the Tabernacle. So this festival is all about that. And Jesus, up until this point, has been teaching. And the crowds have been like completely dumbfounded by what he has had to say. They can't believe that what he said has got such authority, such power. And the religious authorities have been gloriously offended by this. And they are already plotting to try and work out how to get rid of Jesus. So we join Jesus in our reading on the last day of the festival, the kind of peak of the celebrations. And Jesus is about to make some pretty outlandish claims about himself and who he is. So verse 37, we read, on the last day of the festival, the great day. Now this is a really important detail because on that day in the festival, there was a really significant kind of ritual that took place that involved water. And understanding everything that Jesus is about to say helps if we understand what that festival was all about. So on that day in the festival, the priests would take water and wine and they would pour them out all over the altar and all over the floor in the Jewish temple. And they did that as a reminder of a promise from God in the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament that says, one day God will make streams, of literal real streams of new living water flow out from Jerusalem and bless all the surrounding area. You can imagine if you lived in a dry desert, the promise that one day that desert would be full of water was pretty significant. And it wasn't just the kind of desert it would refresh. This promise said that this water was going to run down all the way as far as the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea for a reason. It's got a very high salt concentration, so very little lives in it. And the idea in this promise is that even the Dead Sea would be restored to life, and it would be full of fish, and people could go and use it, and all that sort of stuff. So that's the picture they've all got in their heads. That God has promised this kind of outpouring, this blessing of water from the temple. And that this would be a whole new era of life for God's people. So when Jesus stands up and starts talking about that promise, not in terms of the temple, but in terms of himself, it's a big deal. So Jesus, he's standing there and he cries out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. So he says to them, he says, look, all of you guys who are living in this hot and dry land, he says, if you're thirsty, if you want to be sustained in your life, then come to me. The implication being that Jesus is the one who's going to fulfill this promise at the festival, that God isn't going to send a river, he sent Jesus instead. And it's such a bold claim Because he's really saying, well, hey, I'm God here, folks. That's what Jesus is saying about himself. He says, if you want to have the life that God has for you, then you're going to need to find it in following Jesus. Now, those of us who are here this morning who follow Jesus know this to be true. We know that in having a relationship with God, that's where we can find life in all its fullness. That it's only Jesus who can offer us the deepest satisfaction and contentment that nothing else in our world can bring. Not status, not possessions, not wealth, not you name it. None of it compares to the fulfillment we find in knowing God's love in our lives. That's why baptism that you've seen this morning, that's why it's so exciting, because part of what is going on is it is parents and godparents acknowledging the importance of Jesus and saying this Jesus is so important that we want our children to be raised to know who he is and to live by him and to be a part of his people, to know the blessing that God has for us in a relationship with him. And then Jesus continues, and here he's quoting Ezekiel. He says, as the scripture has said, out of the believers' hearts shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this all takes place way before Jesus' death and his resurrection, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So that's what the last bit's about. And so again, Jesus takes this really familiar image to his listeners. He says that, you know, they all know that God's going to bless the world through water pouring out of the temple. And he says, instead of this new life coming from the temple, he said it's going to come from the believers in him. He said it's not about buildings, it's about people. He says the people, they're the ones that God is going to use to transform the world. And instead of a literal river, instead of literal water, the living water he's talking about is going to be the Holy Spirit. That's the part of God that he's given to us as a gift. It's the way we know God's love. It's the way we experience God. It's the part of God that lives within each believer. And he says, that's what's going to bring life to people. The Holy Spirit living in you. Well, what's that life going to look like? What is the Holy Spirit going to bring about for us? Well, it works on two levels. The first is that the Holy Spirit, that God's love will bring transformation into your own life. If you want to live in the way that Jesus lives, then we need the Holy Spirit's help. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit today is principally to be the way in which we experience God's love. If you've ever walked into church and you feel there's something different about the place, if you've ever felt quiet as you've prayed, if you've ever think you've encountered God, then it's the Holy Spirit is who you've met of God. And the result of being open to that, the result of knowing that you are loved by God, is change. Because when you know how great God's love is for you, you can't help but change and not stay the same. And we experience it in lots of ways. The Bible talks about there being gifts of the Spirit that enable us to do particular things. The Bible talks about the Spirit as bringing fruit in our lives. The results, if you like, of being open to that love. So, if you're open to the Holy Spirit, you might find your life full of some of the following things. More joy, love, peace, patience, compassion, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's a real difference that you can see in a tangible way. And often when I've talked to people who have either perhaps come to faith or had an experience of God as adults, all of a sudden it starts to make a difference. And they say things like, you know what, I went to work on Monday and my friends were like, what have you been doing? There's something different about you. You're not quite the same. And that's what God does. He starts to work in our hearts and transform us. And if being a Christian is about trying to live out the example of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is the way that God helps us to do it. Because we can't get it right by ourselves. And, you know, goodness me, I've tried on my own efforts to live the way that Jesus lived. And I just can't do it because without God's help, it's impossible. But the joy is that with God, all things are possible. That's why you heard at the beginning of our baptism service that when the parents and godparents are making promises, and when we made our sort of promise at the very beginning, we acknowledge that it's with the help of God we will. We know that raising a child, that praying for that child, teaching our children about Jesus, bringing them week by week to be a part of this church family is something that is difficult to do under our own steam. And that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And that's why we acknowledge that we need his help in it. So that's the first implication, is that for us, you can see real change in yourself. And the second part of it is that Jesus' words are not just meant for us, but for the whole world. Because the streams that flowed out of the temple in Jerusalem weren't only there to bless God's people who'd gathered. And the same is true for the Holy Spirit. It's not a private gift that's only here to improve our lives. It is a gift for the whole world. It's not something that we leave behind on the pews on Sunday morning, but it's something we take with us wherever we go. And the Spirit works in us, transforming us so that we can transform our world with God, so that we can kind of bring more and more of Jesus' way of doing things into every sphere of life. We're all called to be agents of change, wherever you find yourself, Monday to Saturday. We're called to bring that transformation in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships, our friendships, our workplaces, if you're at the school gate, but also in the bigger spheres, in politics, in the arts, in sciences, in the way we care for our planets, in the choices you make at the supermarket every week, every aspect of our life, God can use to change and reshape the world. And he wants us to bring his vision, his values, his way of life to the table in everything we do, because it's the best loving plan for our world. And we don't do it by ourselves. We've got the Holy Spirit as our guide and our help. I said right back at the beginning that we've been trying to teach our two kids how important it is to have enough to drink, how vital that is to keeping us well when it's been so warm. And those of us who've been here over the last few weeks listening to this teaching series, well, all we've been doing is we've been reminding ourselves of the importance of having enough of the streams of living water, enough of the Holy Spirit, enough of being open to God and how God works today in our lives. And it's not just about survival. I mean, we do need God for all the basic stuff, but it's about thriving. If you want the best life, then you need Jesus in it, because that's the only way that you'll find the fullness that God has on offer. And water, just like, you know, that glass of water improves your concentration, the Holy Spirit helps you to thrive. It brings positive transformation in you and in the world, just because you know that you've been loved by God. And it's not just for us, it transforms our world too. And the real joy is that this water is available for all of us. God makes no exceptions. It's not just for people who know him well, it's for anyone and everyone. And the real joy is that getting hold of this water is real simple. All you have to do is ask. So we're going to take a few moments to pray, and it's an opportunity to do just that, to ask. To ask for some of that amazing stuff in our own lives that God might bring to pass. So get yourselves comfy, however you might feel comfortable to pray. You might like to close your eyes. Some people even feel comfortable to kneel or to hold their hands out. It doesn't matter too much which you want to do. But we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us this morning by your Holy Spirit. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, help every person here this morning to know your great love for them. Come, Holy Spirit.